Praising my Lord.
Jim, you can do it now or for the morning service. We have a couple here that are here.
anyway, in addition to that, don't forget this Saturday coming up, the 20th, is the church work day. So I trust that we'll try to plan to be here for that. It's going to be at 9 o'clock in the morning. We'll have little things to nibble on, donuts, coffee, you know, something along that line, just to tie us over until lunchtime. But there's plenty to do here at the church, and we hope that we'll be here to help out with that. If you have special tools that could help with anything that might need to be done here, please bring them along with you when you come, and we'll have a good day. And based on the present weather forecast, we're going to have a good day. There's not rain scheduled, so hope we'll be having a good day. All right, so I think that's the major announcements that I have right now. I know, Jim, you have an announcement that can wait until morning service, right? Okay. Good. And Jason, you're as well. That can wait until morning service? Okay. Good. All right. Very good. Let's get back to some singing then. 7:56. Cheer up, ye saints of God. Nothing to worry about. Right. Okay. Very good. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. God bless you and keep you. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we do have some children here today, so they can be dismissed now to go to class. While they're doing so, Ephesians 2, 8, 9. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 were our scripture memory verses. We're going to go back to what we were doing before. Next Sunday, we're going to have a different memory verse for the week. So, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Take just a moment for if you need to turn to it. Any volunteers that want to say the verses? Okay, Gene, go right ahead.
We'll see if I can get it right this time.
No worries.
Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Amen. Thank you. Anyone else? March, and then Sam, and then
Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that out of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of work, but that a man should boast.
All right, go ahead.
Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that out of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
All right, go ahead.
Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved, and not for by grace are you saved through faith, and not that of yourselves. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast.
All right, good. Anyone else? Okay, let's say it together. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. All right. Our verse for this coming week is a new one. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. First John chapter 5, verse 13. We're going to take a week or two at least on this one because the verse is a little bit longer, and some of you who don't know it yet, it might take you a little while to learn it. All right. First John chapter 5, verse 13. Here's what God's Word says. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Alright, so, this verse is very clear that you can know that your home is going to be in heaven when you leave this life. Very clear. And by the way, the first part of the verse says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. What does that tell you? That person is saved. Very clear. Alright? And that person can know that he has eternal life. Alright? And then he goes right back to what he just said at the beginning of the verse, at the very end of the verse. That ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. In other words, as we're saved, we know we have eternal life, and we can have confidence in the Lord Jesus. That's what it says. All right? Let's say it together. 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Okay, now we're ready.
Amen. That's good verses there, huh? It's amazing that Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, it's amazing how many people do not simply see, you know, not of works. That verse is basically trying to say every which way possible, you know, by grace. Grace means it's a free gift. Not of works. I mean, you can't. It's amazing, isn't it? And thank God. It's amazing because Ephesians 2:8-9 tells us how to be saved. And then 1 John 5:13 says you can be confident you're saved. Amen. And so I thank God for it. The book's good, isn't it? This book's not just good for living. It's good for dying. Amen. And by the way, everybody's believing something that somebody else said. Amen. Even the so-called evolutionist. They're believing what somebody told them. In fact, their beliefs constantly change. Is it billions of years? Millions of years? Everybody's believing, most likely, something that was written. These things have I written. The written word. We live by this book. We die by this book. And thank God for it. Amen. And may we live well by the book. And may we die well by the book. I remember reading a story of missionaries. Missionaries went to these Indians and were trying to reach them. And really didn't reach hardly anybody after a little while. And then all of a sudden some Indians start getting saved. And somebody said, you know, hey, what made the difference? And the Indian said, we were watching you. We understand that you live good by the book. But then we started to understand you die good by the book. And so, you know, they must have saw the confidence that this book's not just good for living. It's good for dying as well. Amen. And we thank God for that. Well, if you have one of these books, if you have a Bible, would you be so kind to turn Ephesians chapter number 4? Ephesians chapter number 4. We are talking about one another. And by the way, my better half, my better looking half is not here. And she's going to go to her brother's church this morning. And because this afternoon we're having a barbecue for Mother's Day. And I will be able to make it. Worry not. I might have a ticket, but I'm going to make it. No, I'm teasing. And she had to stay home to marinate the pork chops. Okay, so anybody had grilled pork chops on the grill? Oh yeah, amen. I get an amen on that. How about that? I got an amen on that. That was like, you know. But let me say Happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers. Amen. And I'll be honest with you. I was thinking about this, and I was thinking deep about this. You know, without mothers, we wouldn't be here. You think about that, amen. But nonetheless, I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter number 4. We're talking about one another as we are focusing on the need for one another. Amen. The Bible says that the church is not about one person. It's about everybody. Amen. Now, we do thank God for everybody. Amen. And we need to learn to thank God for everybody. There are people sometimes, you know, we got to be very, very careful. Sometimes we can think somebody in the church is nobody. We have no idea. You have no idea. Never, never, never think you don't need somebody because you have no idea who people are. And, you know, there are people that seemingly are nobodies, but sometimes they know somebody that you don't know. I'm just saying, some people despise, you know, they're like, who are they? You have no idea who they are. I think I mentioned this before. A friend of mine became a police officer in the city of Philadelphia. And he had an uncle. And his uncle's an average guy. Average Joe. Saved, church member, you know, just faithful to the Lord. Nothing spectacular. Not like dynamic this, dynamic that. And so my friend became a police officer and was working in a certain district in our city. One of the bad districts. And his uncle said to him one day, as they were, you know, must have been having a family gathering, he said, you know, he was telling him, I don't really like where I work, the neighborhood, whatever. And so his uncle said to him, where do you want to go? And he said, I'd like to work in the 26th district, which is like a nice area. And he said, I'll see what I can do. Now, my friend told me this. He's thinking, number one, he knows his uncle's like just an average, you know, and he's thinking to himself, what's he going to do for me? His uncle made a phone call. This young man now works in the 26th district. He was surprised. See, it wasn't his uncle that had the power, the authority to make any kind of difference in his life. But he knew somebody who was the head of something, which is like, and one phone call and the guy, it's almost like you kind of think, amen? We got to be very, very careful. Amen. God put us together and we need each other. Amen. And never think there's somebody you don't need. Amen. You know, even if that person's an aggravator, you need somebody. Can I get a witness on that one? Does anybody have a washing machine? Now, listen, I know that the washing machines, the newer one, they're different. How many people have an older washing machine? Maybe a little bit older. It still has maybe that thing in the middle. Yeah, I have one of those. You know what I mean? Do you know what those things in the middle are called? Agitators. Do you know what agitation does to the clothes? Cleans them. When I was young and got saved and got backslidden as a teenager, I got right with God. When I got right with God, I mean, I came back to the Lord. I mean, obviously, I had a lot of rough edges. You could say I was an agitator. And the youth pastor could tell you the same thing. I mean, I was an agitator. In fact, you know, I got right with God. I'm back in the Sunday school. The youth director, you know, taught the Sunday school. And we were getting ready. When I first got right with the Lord as a teenager, we're getting ready for our camp. It was going to be the first camp at Camp Calvary. How many people have ever heard of Camp Calvary? It's over here on Route 78. Actually, Lansdale Calvary Baptist owns it. But we were one of the first groups that went to that camp when he first bought it. And we were getting pumped up and he would pump us up and yeah, we're going to have a great time. And then all of a sudden the nighttime came. I think it was like a Sunday night after Sunday night service. We all got in the bus and because we're all pumped up, we're going to camp and we're going to have a blast. And the youth director pastor gets up and he says, listen, when we get there, it's going to be probably, you know, 10 o'clock, whatever. We need to, everybody get settled in. We're going to bunk for the night. And I stood up and said, I thought you said we were going to have a great time. What do you mean, go to bed? And I started, I'm an agitator. He goes in, he gets off the bus, he goes into the pastor's office, says, I'm not taking him. That's what he said, I'm not taking him. That pastor is my father-in-law, who said, he's a good kid, be patient with him, he's just coming back to the Lord, yeah, put up with him. They took me. That pastor now, Pastor Salianizzi, his name is, he is now the pastor at Bible Baptist Church in Florida, and a pretty big church. I helped him to get there. I sanctified his life. I caused him to pray. I caused him to confess his sin and get right with God. Can I get a witness on that one? We all want everybody to be friends, to be everything we want them to be to us. And there are times, sad to say, we need agitators. But woe unto you that are the agitators, or myself, amen. Anyway, where did that come? I don't even know. That's not even in the notes. I got to put that here. But we're talking about one another. We need to love one another. That was what we really, our first thought is to love one another. And we talked about a lot of that. Part of loving one another is we talked about the fact we need to receive one another. And we already talked all about that. We need to respect one another. That's for sure. Receive one another. Again, like I said, we got to be careful, you know, because some people draw a line and they'll receive you to a certain whatever. We need to learn to receive one another. Use hospitality one toward another, right? Entertain strangers. That's hospitality. Thereby, some have entertained angels unaware. And I think it takes you almost back to Abraham. Remember Abraham when he saw the strangers and he showed them hospitality? Here it was the Lord and those angels that were going into Sodom and Gomorrah to get out Lot, and right? But I believe, see, the word angel means messenger. And it may not be that this person that you're entertaining is an angel from out of space. And you know, it may be a messenger, somebody that God is going to use to be a blessing to you. Amen. So we really have to be careful how we respect and how we connect with one another. Another testimony, just to throw this out there, a friend of mine at one of the churches I used to go to, he works at the Mint. He makes money. He does. He makes money. He works at the U.S. Mint. He'll tell you this. There was a guy in the church who's now with the Lord. So the guy's better off. He was an agitator. Okay, but he's with the Lord and he's no more of an agitator. But this friend of mine, I guess he kind of, you know, you don't really want to connect with agitators, right? But somehow, some way, he connected with this agitator one day. And you know what this agitator did? My friend was looking for a job. He was in the military. He was in the Navy. And he was looking for a job when he got out. And this agitator kind of connected him with the men because he worked at the men himself. And my friend often gives testimony of how you never know who God's going to use to help you to find what it is you're looking for. Amen? And so we all got to be very, very careful, right? Receiving one another is a part of loving one another. And then we talked last week about this. Preferring one another is a part of loving one another. Put others first. Amen? Put others first. It goes against our nature. It goes against our grain. No doubt about it. And may God help us to do this. Amen? Put others first. And we talked about that. Now today I want to talk to you about this. Not only does loving one another involve receiving one another and preferring one another, but loving one another involves this. Boy, this is amazing because we're talking about agitators, right? Forbearing one another. Forbearing one another. Now, I want you to look at Ephesians chapter number 4. By the way, let me just say this. What is forbearing one another? To put it simply, it's putting up with one another. Amen. In the spirit of love. Putting up with one another in the spirit of love. Amen. And by the way, look at Ephesians. Here it is. Let's begin in verse number 1. Ephesians chapter number 1. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 1. Paul said this, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called." Now, what he's saying here is he's saying, listen, you've been called, you've been saved. In fact, can I give you the most simplest outline for the book of Ephesians? 2 points make up the book of Ephesians. Chapters 1-3 can be summed up in verse 1 of chapter 1. Look with me, if you will, for just one moment. Look at Ephesians 1 and verse number 1. The Bible says this, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful." Note the last three words, "in Christ Jesus." See that right there? In Ephesians 1:1, it uses the term "in Christ Jesus." In chapters 1, 2, and 3, guess what the emphasis is? In Christ Jesus. What he's saying is, you're in Christ Jesus. You're in Christ Jesus. And the emphasis is that you are wealthy, spiritually speaking. Okay, we're not talking about the wealth of the world. We're talking about spiritual blessings in Christ. Amen? The whole emphasis of Ephesians 1, 2, and 3 is the fact that we are in Christ Jesus, which means we're saved and we have opportunities and possibilities to live the right way. Now, here's the second part of the book. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 1. We'll look at that again because I want you to see it's just one statement that emphasizes the rest of the book. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 1. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you," here it is, next two words, "walk worthy." Okay, there it is right there. If you want the book of Ephesians, in Christ Jesus, chapters 1, 2, and 3, here's what we ought to do because we're in Christ Jesus. Chapter 4, 1, walk worthy. Because you're in Christ and because you're saved, you ought to walk a different way. Amen. In fact, if any man be in Christ, he's a what? New creature, new creation. Amen. All things are passing away. All things are becoming new. What does that mean? That means this. If you're in Christ, if you're saved, your walk should be different than it used to be. If I could put it this way, Romans chapter 6, verses 1-6, I believe it is, it emphasizes if you've been planted in Jesus' death and in his burial, and you've been raised to walk in the newness of life. That's the whole emphasis, isn't it? And so what he says here in Ephesians 1-3, you're in Christ. Ephesians 4 to pretty much the end of the book, walk worthy. In fact, there's emphasis on the thought of walk in the book of Ephesians. In fact, look at verse number 17 of chapter 4. It tells us how not to walk. Ephesians 4:17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth means from now on, that you walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. What he says is, hey, walking worthy is not walking like you used to walk. Here's what he says. Look at chapter 5, verse number 2. Walking worthy involves walking in what? Love. Verse number 2 of chapter 5, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering, a sacrifice, and so on. So walk worthy. How do you walk worthy? You don't walk like you used to walk. You don't walk like the world walks. You walk in love. But then here's another one. Look at chapter 5, verse number 8. Not only do we walk in love, but we walk as children of light. Verse number 8. Of chapter 5, for you were sometimes darkness. I like that word, were. Amen. That's what we were. It's not we are. He says, you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. What's it say? Walk as children of light. Look at chapter 5, verse number 15. Again, here's another walk. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. What does that mean? Now that you're saved, don't walk like the world. Walk in love. Walk in as children of light. And by the way, walk careful as you go through this life. See, circumspect means very careful. Pay attention to details. Why? Because sometimes the devil's in the details. Amen? Pay attention. Find God's will and follow it. And then also, so you have several walks. And by the way, one of the great emphasis at the end of the chapter and the end of the book is there's a warfare. Chapter 6, verse number 10 and on, right? You're in Christ, you're saved. Now walk worthy. And by the way, if you're going to seek to walk worthy, be ready to fight. The devil's not just going to sit back and say, oh, now that they're saved, just let them go. No, he was aggressive to keep us lost. Now that we're saved, he wants to try to trip us up. So we have to war, amen? No doubt about it. Back to Ephesians 4, chapter number 1. Verse number 1. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 1. The emphasis here, now that we're saved, we need to walk the right way. We need to walk the right way. In fact, I think of 1 John, boy, I can't off the top of my mind, I think 3:6. Walk as he walked. Amen? And that's Christ. Amen? There's a song, you remember, I walk today where Jesus walked, and it's the emphasis of somebody walking, I think, in the Holy Land. Amen? To walk there, you just need to be able to afford a flight. But to walk like he walked, I think it's a little more expensive. It takes a lot more work. Amen. I want you to look at Ephesians 4, verse number 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Here's what walking worthy involves. Look at verse 2. With all lowliness. By the way, we got to walk humble. Humble. Is there not an emphasis? I think Micah, I can't even remember the address. Maybe Micah 7. What doth the Lord require of thee? Micah 6:8, thank you. That's good that somebody memorizes scripture. Thank you. What doth the Lord require of you but to walk, what? Humbly with your God. You see, if you're not humble, you can't walk with the Lord. It's quite amazing, isn't it? People think they're something because they walk with the Lord. I think Isaiah, where's it at, brother? I think it's Isaiah 58, maybe 57, 15. It says the Lord also walks with those that are of a contrite and a humble spirit. Amen. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, right? Learn of me. I am what? Meek and lowly, humble, humble. I want you to look with me. He says part of walking worthy is walking in lowliness. And then what's the next word? Meekness. Do you know what meekness is? Somebody said it this way, meekness is strength under control. Let me tell you what the Lord Jesus was. He was meek. You say, hold on a minute, he flipped the tables. Yeah, he flipped the tables, but he was under control because you know what he could have done? He could have called, I won't say 10,000 because we don't know how many angels. You know what? Somebody said meekness is almost like that stallion horse with all that strength. but it's under the reins of somebody else, under the control of somebody else. Somebody said, if you think that meekness is weakness, try to be meek for a week. Under control. Amen. Boy, if I could only keep my tongue under control, right? James chapter 3, boy, an unruly evil, right? Meekness is allowing God to control your tongue and your temper and so on. Look at what he says. Walking worthy is walking with all lowliness, walking with meekness. And then here, look at the next word. With what? Long suffering. How do you get that word? Suffering long, right? Long suffering. What's the next statement? Forbearing one another in what? In love. When I read these words, meekness, long suffering, so on and so on, do you know what that takes my mind to? It takes my mind to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit. Can I, you know what that statement means, the fruit of the Spirit? Here it is in simple terms. The results of being Spirit-filled. See, the fruit of something is a result of something. The results of being fruit, being Spirit-filled, the fruit of the Spirit is, and the first thing mentioned is what? Love. But then you got meekness in there, you got gentleness in there, you got temperance, right? So basically what this is saying in Ephesians, if I'm going to be able in love to put up with others, and by the way, that is what we have to do sometimes. There ain't no doubt about it. We come from different backgrounds. We have different educations, many of us. And so we have to, by the way, if you are intelligent and if you have education in reference to English, you have to put up with me. You do. I'm not formally educated, by the way. You might have already picked up on that. I hate to burst your bubble with that one. My son has education. Amen. Matter of fact, he just graduated a bachelor's in business and finance. He did an online university. But he loves English. And he'll, once in a while, he don't get on me, but I mean, you know, that double negative and stuff like that. I'm like, what is that? I'm not educated. I butcher the English language. I feel sorry for you if you are one that really, you know, by the way, if that's the only thing that bothers you, if that's the only thing you get out of a sermon is that he didn't say this right, he didn't say that right. I mean, if that's the only thing, you know what I mean? Can I get a witness on that one? You got to put up with me on that one. And we do. In love. Look at verse number 3. So we need to put up with each other in love. And now verse number 3 says this. Endeavoring. You know what that means? It takes work. It takes work. Endeavoring to what? Keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So the whole thing is about we need to put up with one another and love one another to keep things in intact. By the way, isn't that how marriages work? Isn't that how marriages work? I mean, you got a male and a female, and that is marriage, by the way. That legally get married, by the way. Nowadays, you never thought you had to define things like that. But that's what marriage is all about. A positive and a negative, and I'm not saying who's the positive and who's the negative. Have to get together on one battery in order to make it work. Can I get a witness on that one? It's like these churches, everything's only positive. And then these other churches, everything's only negative. And that's not good. If you had a battery that only had positive, you wouldn't ever start your car. You'd never get nowhere. Can I get a witness on that one? And the fact is, we have to put up with one another. Amen? But we need to love one another in order to do that. Okay? Here's a verse for you. Romans 12, 18. As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. You say, what does that mean? That means this. I got to do everything that I possibly can do to keep the peace. If peace is not going to be kept, may it not be my fault. Can I get away? If it's, let me do everything I can do. And by the way, we need to pray. We need to pray. There was a man, I might have already told this, and if I have, hopefully, well, I won't say hopefully you don't have a good memory, but nonetheless, there was a man walking down the street, and he had a I think a toddler, 2-year-old, terrible two. Can I get a terrible two? And he's in the stroller, and this is an older man. And this man is walking down, and this kid is acting crazy. I mean, this kid, and this man is saying, "Now, Adam, calm down. Come on, Adam, relax." And somebody walked up to this man and said, "I am really, really surprised how patient you are with Adam." And he said, "I'm Adam." He wasn't talking to that kid. He was talking to himself. Because that kid ain't coming down listening to nobody. Here's the illustration. You may not get nowhere with the person you're fighting with. Start talking to yourself. It's going to be all right. Lord, help me. Yeah, whatever. Amen? Just be careful what you say. "Get thee behind me, Satan." You know, that's not going to help the situation. Amen? Now, unless you're Lord Jesus, amen, that's okay. But you understand that. "Oh, now you're calling me the devil," you know? So we need to be patient, and we need to forbear and put up with one another in love. Listen, loving one another involves receiving one another. It involves preferring one another. It involves forbearing one another. And then I'm going to actually close up this section on loving one another with one more thought. We're in Ephesians 4, right? I want you to get this one. It involves forgiving one another. Forgiving one another. Loving one another involves forgiving one another. And I'll tell you, I do not doubt that this is probably one of the major, major points of the devil's workings. Amen. It's a lack of forgiveness that breaks up marriages and families and churches. There ain't no doubt about it. And God knows, listen, we need to forgive one another. Listen, it's not a matter of just how often we forgive somebody else, but we got to concern ourselves with how often they got to forgive us. See, the problem is we don't look at it that way because we're blind to ourselves most of the time. Can I get a witness on that one? Amen. But we need to all be humble enough to realize it could be me. Amen? When the Lord Jesus, I mentioned this before, but when the Lord Jesus said to the disciples at the table, "One of you are going to betray me," they didn't all say, "Yeah, I figured it would be him." They all began to say, "Lord, is it I? Lord, is it?" Well, I'm humble enough to realize I'm a sinful person. And I can do that. Amen? Look at Ephesians 4, verse number 31 and 32. We need to learn to forgive one another. Oh, boy. Look at Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Look at verse 32. Be kind one to another. There it is. Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. We have to learn to forgive one another, listen, the way that we have been forgiven. And I'll even add this one on. We need to forgive one another the way we want to be forgiven. Think of what we call the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debts as we forgive others. Our debtors. How does God forgive me? Very graciously. Very mercifully. How do I forgive others? What do you need forgiveness for? What did you do wrong? When did you do it? How did you say? We want to clarify this. We want them to know how much they hurt us. And you know what I find about the prodigal son? When he came home, boy. And by the way, if we judge ourselves, he doesn't even bother us. So the Bible says, he don't have to judge us. You know, people judge themselves and they come and they judge themselves. And then we trust them to help make sure they realize how bad it really was. We know what we're doing. We're actually judging them too. If somebody's judging himself, don't add to it. God don't. If we judge ourselves, he doesn't judge us. When the prodigal came home, he said, "Lord," he said, "Father, I'm not worthy. Don't even need to be your son. Make me one of your, I'm not." Do you know what the father said to him? Exactly. Do you know what the father did when the son came confessing? He turned to the servant and said, "Go get the best robe. Kill the fatted calf." He said nothing back to that. That man said enough. Said enough. I I need to forgive others the way that God has forgiven me, but also can need to keep forgiving others the way I want him to keep forgiving me. Amen. I want you to note some. By the way, I mentioned this before in preaching that unforgiveness is the devil's greatest advantage against us. By the way, that's the best word to put it, because we are not ignorant. 2 Corinthians 2, 6 to 11, verse 11, the key. Paul said, we are not ignorant of the devil's devices. And the very context of that is unforgiveness. They say that some animals, when they hunt, they want to pick up a scent of a bleeding animal, because they know that animal's wounded, that animal's hurting, and that animal's going to be easy prey. And I don't doubt that the devil wants to pick up a scent of unforgiveness, bitterness, or something like that, because he knows, boy, those fiery darts are going to go into you real good. Amen? He adds fuel to the fire. There ain't no doubt about that. Amen? I have too much to say. Obviously, not enough time. Turn to Colossians, and I'll have to finish up with this one. Colossians. We're in the neighborhood, right past Philippians. Colossians chapter number 3, please. Colossians 3. Forgiving one another. I might have to pick up on this next week, because I do have an acrostic on the word forgive I want us to see from the Bible. But I want to close with this verse here. Colossians chapter number 3. Would you look with me in verses 12 to 14, please? Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14. This kind of sums it up, what we were talking about all morning. Put on therefore, verse number 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, those that are saved, put on this holy, you're elect and you're holy and you're beloved, put on bowels of mercy, put on kindness, put on humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Hold on a minute. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Yeah, how about be spirit-filled, right? Look at verse 13. What am I going to do? Forbearing one another. See, if you don't put these things on, you can't put up with one another. Amen. Forbearing one another, and then what? Forgiving one another. There it is. Both of them in one verse. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also forgive you. Look at verse 14, though. I want you to see this. And above all. See that term, above all? I have a message I'm working on. I looked up in every area where that uses the term above all. There's always an emphasis. Above all is like, here's the most important thing you need to have. Here's what he says, verse number 14. Above all these things, put on what? Charity. Self-sacrificing love. That's agape love. Self-sacrificing love, which is the what? The bond of perfectness. The glue. A bond is a glue. Love is the glue that will hold us together. It's the glue that holds marriages together. Amen? When I was a kid, how many people remember Captain and Tennille? Yeah, okay. I remember being a kid. Now, some of you might not get this, but they always sang that, didn't they? Love will keep us together. But the fact of the matter is, it's the truth. Above all, put on charity. 1 Peter 4, I think it's verse, don't turn there. I'm going to throw it at you. I'm throwing this out for free. 1 Peter 4:8. Charity shall cover the multitude of sin. That's why we got to have that on. Folks, you're not going to live and move around people without treading on toes, even by accident. Amen? If we can't learn to forgive and forbear, it's going to make it real difficult for us to stick together. Amen? So we need to love one another. May God help us to do that. Let's pray and we'll take a break. Amen. Father, thank you for the word this morning. Thank you for those that were able to gather this morning. And I know some may not be here because they're meeting up with their mothers, and some won't be in the next service. They're meeting up. We're praying for you to give blessed days, a blessed time, Lord, for each person that's meeting up with their mothers today, tomorrow, as I'll be with mine tomorrow. I just pray you'll give us blessed times with our mothers in a very special way. Blessed, we pray, our time of fellowship now in the upcoming service. In Jesus' name, amen.